All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, this morning we are working with verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We'll go ahead and take a little run at it, and we'll start back at 1:3. Kind of get a little bit of context here. In terms of the letter, again, our focus is 2, 1 to 3, but we're going to start back at 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your ministry to us already, your presence with us. And we thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray that as we come before your word at this time, that you would speak afresh to us. Help us to hear you. Help us to receive you. Help us to obey you. Change us for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Okay, so before we jump into this, got to take a moment. Anybody memorize anything this week? Okay, Phil's going to give it a shot.
I had it this morning, so
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and put it out there.
Okay.
All right, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, in which he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, and undefiled, kept in heaven for you. Who is salvation ready to be revealed at the last time.
Good.
In this you greatly rejoice, though now, if necessary, you are being grieved by various trials. Through various trials, through faith, which is being tested. Wait, through the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, though it perishes by the testing of fire, is to be of praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you do not see him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and have a joy which is inexpressible and filled with glory to the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Amen. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. That's the English Standard Version, in case you were wondering. That is right on, Phil.
Thanks.
All right, John Mark, you going to do it? Okay. Amen. Good job. All right. Well done. All right. We've heard from the wings. Anybody want to represent the middle? Nah, she's over there. Okay. Just out of curiosity, is anybody still working on it? I know these guys have been working on it. Do we have any new takers? Anybody trying to get it down? Creed? You still working on it? Okay. 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 All right. Rachel, you got it? Okay. Okay. I know it's kind of daunting, but you can do it. And for those of you who just feel like, wow, that's just way too much, I would encourage you to just do verses like 3 and 4 and 5, just get that beginning done. And then another place I would encourage you to memorize is the passage that we're working with this morning. It starts at 2:1-3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. As newborn babes or newborn infants, crave the pure spiritual milk. And then for by it you will grow into your salvation, and since it you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, I kind of stutter my way through it, but work on 2:1-3. If you just feel like, you know, 1:3-9 is just overwhelming, daunting, get this stuff in you. This stuff will come back to you at different times during the week. The Lord will use it to change you and to move you and to shape you. And so really challenge you to get into this and have this get into you. Now, one of the things that when I'm working with 1 Peter, one of the things that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to keep a couple of contexts in mind. And so the first way I know to think about it is I'm trying to keep in mind what's going on, what we'd refer to as their social context. In other words, what's going on in their world, what's going on in their lives. And one of the things that we've picked up on as we've spent time with 1 Peter is that Peter's writing to people who really find themselves not fitting in their worlds because God has chosen them. God has called them. God has given them this new birth into this living hope and into this inheritance. And so because of what God is doing in their lives, they find themselves at a place where they really just don't fit in their world. And because they don't fit, they find that people are against them. And so it might be family that is against them. Because now they're worshiping Jesus Christ, and they're no longer worshiping the gods of the family, no longer living according to kind of the way of life that their ancestors handed down through that family. They are living a new life in Christ Jesus, and so they no longer even fit in their own families. And it's like having their family against them. And for some of them, they no longer fit at work. And they have a different value system, and they live according to Christ rather than according to the ways that everybody at work operates. And so they find that the people at work, they don't simply not fit, but even the people at work are against them. No matter how good of a job they do on their job, people are against them because of who they worship. And you could multiply that scenario over scenario. The town that they're a part of, the village that they're a part of. They no longer fit there. They may have grown up there, or they may have been moved there, but either way, they don't fit because of who they worship, because God is doing a new thing in their life. And so they find that they have people against them, and so Peter is writing to them to help them stay focused on who they are in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. This is what God has done in your life. You are born anew into a living hope, and you have a new inheritance. And so he's writing to encourage them to stay true to this new identity that God has given them. And he's also writing to strengthen them, to resource them as they deal with people who are against them because of what God is doing in their life. So that's one thing that I'm trying to keep in mind as I read through this letter. The second thing that I'm trying to keep in mind is what we would refer to as literary context. And by that, I mean, I'm trying to keep the big picture in mind in terms of what Peter has said. So, for example, this week it'd be real easy just to focus on 2:1-3 and not think about anything else that Peter has written so far. And it's really easy to do, to kind of just zero in on that. Be rid of all malice. You know, we could just jump in right there, be rid of all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander. We could just jump in right there and forget everything else. But what I'm trying to do is to think about, okay, where does that fit in everything that Peter has said up to this point? And so if I were to kind of outline it for you, the passage that we've been memorizing, or that Phil and John Mark have memorized, 1:3-9, I mean, that's kind of foundational for everything that's said after that. You know, praise be to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's given us new birth into this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for you who are shielded by faith until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, and so all of that, praise be to God, because this is what God has done. That is foundational. And then we saw that there are four imperatives that follow. And so the first imperative, it comes at 1:13. And let me just read that for you. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Here's the imperative. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So you have this new birth. Therefore, because this is your new birth, this is your new life, therefore, set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Don't get caught focused on old ways of life, old patterns of living. Set your hope on this future that God has for you. Second imperative is to live your life in reverent fear of God. Okay, don't think that just because God is your father now and you've been adopted into the family that you can go out and pretty much live however you want to live because your father will cover you. Okay, that's to trample upon the grace of God. And so Peter is reminding them that yes, you have a new birth, but you still need to live in reverence towards God. The third imperative we looked at last week especially. With this new birth, you're in a new family, and yes, you love each other, but love each other deeply. Okay, and so that's the third imperative, is to have this deep love for each other. And where do we see that love modeled? We see that love modeled in the Father and the giving of the Son. So our love needs to, it just can't be this kind of shallow love. It needs to be the deep kind of love of God. Okay, so those three imperatives, the fourth imperative is what we're dealing with today here in chapter 2. In a word, it's verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, so I'm trying to keep all of that in mind. As I read today's passage, as I preach today's sermon, I'm realizing I'm not just jumping in on this little thing as if that's the whole, but it's based upon there's this new birth and then these imperatives of how we're supposed to live this new life. Okay, are you with me on that? Is that making sense? So that's kind of how we're working with this. So when I get to chapter 2 and I see that word, therefore, that's a pretty big word. Because what that's saying is that what I'm about to tell you is based upon what I've just said. And there are two places to kind of go back to with the therefore. The first place to go back to is 1:22 to 25. Okay, so let me read it just a little bit to you. So 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And then you can skip on down to chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy, and every form of slander. Do you see how that works? You have been born of a new seed. You are called, we are called to love each other deeply. Therefore, there's no room for malice. There's no room for slander. There's no room for deceit or hypocrisy. There's no room for envy. Because of this new birth that has taken place in our lives by the work of the Father, therefore, we got to live differently. We can't live the old life of hypocrisy or slander or malice. Therefore, love one another deeply. Therefore, you've been born of this new seed, this new birth into this living hope. You can't keep living. I can't keep living. We can't keep living this old way of life of malice. We'll talk about that more in a moment. The second place you can go is all the way back to 1:3 in terms of the therefore. And praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Do you see how this whole thing keeps kind of tying together around this new birth? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And then he tells them here, you need to love each other deeply from the heart. Why? Because you have been born from imperishable seed. And we see here in chapter 2, he says, therefore, be rid of this old way of life of malice and deceit, etc. As newborn babes, do you see the new birth language? As newborns, crave pure spiritual milk. So all of this holds together in Peter's mind. And so this therefore is we got to live this new way of life because of what God has done in us, this new birth he's given us in Christ Jesus. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about malice. Maybe I should ask you, what's your definition of malice? When you hear the word malice, what comes to your mind? It's really not a word that I don't think we use it every day. So when you hear that word, what comes to your mind? Yeah, I think harm. Danny.
Slander.
Character assassination. Good word. Getting even. So to have malice in your heart towards someone is to want to do them harm. It's to desire to hurt them. And you may hurt them through words. You may hurt them through actions. You may have good cause to want to hurt them. It may be paying them back for something that they did to you. Or you simply may hurt them because you want something that belongs to them. But to have malice in your heart is to desire to hurt or to destroy or to ruin somebody else, however you can get it done. Deceit, hypocrisy. When I think about these words, deceit and hypocrisy, it's basically hiding the truth. To deceive someone is to hide the truth. To be a hypocrite is to hide the truth. And typically the reason why you would deceive someone, the reason why you'd be a hypocrite, is because you're trying to get something, and if the truth were known, you're afraid that you would not be able to get it. Okay, and so I'm going to hide who I am, because I'm trying to get something from you, and if you knew who I was, if you knew the truth about me, there's no way I'd be able to get it. Next couple. Envy, jealousies, and slander. Of course, envy, jealousy, that's wanting something that's not yours, that you don't really have a claim to, belongs to somebody else. And slander, Danny, you said it pretty good in terms of assassinating someone's character. Slander in terms of, the way I think about it, is slanting opinion against somebody else. And so what Peter's saying here is, you've been born again. We've been born again in Christ Jesus into a new living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Therefore, because of who we are, because of this family that we're a part of now, because of who our Father is and this new birth, therefore, there is no way that you can keep on having a malicious attitude towards people or malicious behavior or slander or hypocrisy or deceit. There's just no room for it. And he says, in contrast to that, crave. Pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Grow up in the salvation that God has accomplished for you, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, let me back up just a moment here. Part of me is thinking, why would Peter have to tell them this? I mean, in some ways, it's kind of a no-brainer. You know, you've been born again. You have a new life. You're supposed to love each other deeply. So why does he need to tell them, you know, to rid yourselves, to be done with malice and deceit? Well, what's happening to them? Yeah. They have people that have turned on them. They have people that are against them, people that have done them wrong. Probably people are saying things about them. And so if you're like me, and I think I'm like them, when somebody's saying stuff about me or someone's accusing me of stuff, it becomes very hard to not have a malicious attitude towards that person. Yeah. Yeah. It becomes difficult. When someone has done something to me or to my family, when someone has done something to this church, when someone has done something to the people I love or saying stuff, I mean, then it becomes really hard to not say stuff back or not to try to slant opinion against them or to to not want, it becomes difficult to really want what's best for them rather than simply wanting to see harm done to them and to have them put in their place. And see, I think that's part of what's going on here, why Peter is writing this to these folks, is because they've had people reject them and turn on them. And Peter is saying, wait a minute, you have been born again of a new seed. And you have an inheritance waiting for you. And you have a living hope that they can't take from you. So don't be like them. Don't return maliciousness for maliciousness. Don't return slander for slander. And then it really begins to come to life to me. Instead, he says, crave pure spiritual milk, and so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. There are different ways to jump into this. Let me take a couple of angles. The contrast. Craving pure spiritual milk over against craving somebody's ruin. I mean, you see the difference? So one of the questions that it comes to me is, what am I craving? You know, what am I hungry for? What am I thirsty for? What am I craving after? Am I craving after what somebody else has? Am I craving to see somebody ruined because of what they said about me or what they've done to me? You know, what am I craving? And typically, what the things that we crave, we actually become like those things. And so here is Peter telling the folks, you know, yes, I know that you're strangers in the world, and I know that you feel like aliens, and I know that you have people that are against you, and you're suffering, and different kinds of trials have come into your life. But don't crave, you know, revenge. Don't crave their destruction or their doom. Crave the pure spiritual milk. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, what are we craving? And so that's one way to begin to look at it. What are we craving? And are we craving pure spiritual milk? A second way maybe to begin to look at it is to kind of think in terms of, okay, what is pure spiritual milk? And there are two lines of thought here, and they're not that different from each other. It's just kind of a difference in emphasis. One would be to think about the pure spiritual milk, the milk, as being the Word of God. And some of our translations even say that. I think the New American Standard says crave this pure spiritual milk of the Word. And I'm sure other translations have footnotes in there that would point us in the direction where the Word is, or the milk is the Word. They make this case for a couple of reasons. One is that there are some word plays in the Greek here that don't always come out in the English. But, for example, the word for pure is kind of the opposite of the word for deceit. In Greek, you just fix the letter A or alpha to the front of the word, and it negates it. And so it's almost like a double negative. You have the word deceit, and then you put the A in front of it, and now the deceit becomes pure. It'd be like in our language if you have, what would it be? Maybe one example would be movable, unmovable. You just put a syllable in front of it, now you got the opposite. And so this pure word versus this kind of craving deceit. And then the next kind of play on words that takes place there is with the word spiritual. In Greek, that word is based upon the word word. And so you have been born of a seed, the Word of God, and so now crave this pure kind of word, spiritual word type thing. And so one possibility is that he's saying, crave the pure spiritual Word of God so that by it you may grow into salvation. There's a lot of merit there for that. Because how do we grow? Why are we memorizing this stuff? Why do we come under preaching? Why do we have Bible classes on Friday nights? Why are the kids out there getting a Bible lesson now, kind of at their age-appropriate level? Because we know that God creates and shapes through His Word. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, how did God do it? God said, "Let there be," and He called it forth, and it came to be. And so there is good reason to understand this milk as the Word of God. And if we crave the Word, as a newborn child craves that milk from its mother's breast, if we crave the Word that way and we spend time in the Word and we feast on the Word, that Word is going to shape us and change us so that there is no room for malice, no room for envy, etc. Okay, second line of thinking about this is to take milk as a little bit broader than simply the Word. And here's how we would kind of work with this, how we would think about this. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, the purpose of the milk is so that you can grow up into your salvation, into the salvation. More about the metaphor of milk. The imagery is of a newborn and with its mother and being breastfed. And so it's not like dad, you know, that opens a jar of food or opens a can of formula and mixes the powder with the water and gives a bottle or begins to give baby food or whatever. I mean, that's something that is external from me. The imagery here is of the mother feeding the child from her very life, from her very body, giving life to that child. And so, like newborn babes crave that pure spiritual milk that comes from mom, that is mom giving of her very life to the child so the child can live and grow. And then, since you have tasted that the Lord is good, it would almost be like telling a newborn baby, and this is kind of absurd, but telling a newborn baby, crave the pure spiritual milk of your mom, crave the pure, wholesome, life-giving milk of your mom, since you have tasted that your mom is good. And the goodness of mom, the goodness of mom is mom giving of her very life to nurture and to sustain and to grow the child. In some ways, you could make the case that this is kind of a very feminine imagery of God, that God is like a mom who gives her very life in order to sustain and to grow and to nourish the child. So that you can grow into the salvation that is waiting you at the end. Now, let me keep picking this apart. Salvation. Peter has a little bit different concept of salvation than what we tend to operate with. When we think of salvation, usually anyways, when we think of salvation, we tend to think of being forgiven of your sins. And so we are quote-unquote saved now because our sins are forgiven now. Okay, but when Peter thinks about it, he kind of looks at it a little bit differently. He talks about now as having been born anew into this living hope. So I think I could say that Peter would say that we have new birth, but we don't yet have salvation. Okay, you with me on that? Peter would say, if I'm understanding his vocabulary and how he talks about things, he would say, we have new birth now, but we're awaiting salvation when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so when Peter thinks about salvation, he doesn't simply think about forgiveness, but he thinks about everything that we'll receive at the day when Jesus Christ comes again, at the day when the dead in Christ are raised, when our bodies, the corruptible, is exchanged for the incorruptible. when heaven and earth, when all things are made new. And so when Peter thinks about salvation, he's thinking about that glorious day, that inheritance, that share in the kingdom of God in its fullness that is ours in Christ Jesus. So it would include resurrection. It would include being completely transformed and made Christ-like. It would include having a share in reigning with Christ. So when Peter says we're born again now, but we are born into this inheritance, and we're waiting for that day of salvation when Jesus comes again. Okay, are you with me on that? Do you see? So now think about this. He's saying, as newborns, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into salvation. That salvation that's coming when Jesus Christ is revealed, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. I've been trying to think, okay, how do we grow up into salvation? Okay, salvation is not anything that we can achieve ourselves. So how do we grow up into it? And it's a little bit different in a sense than simply kind of growing up into your body, you know, moving from, you know, a kid into an adult body. That just kind of happens naturally. I mean, there's not a whole lot you have to do except eat, and it kind of begins to happen. So here's what I've been thinking about with it. This notion of inheritance, growing up into salvation, this inheritance that's awaiting us. My dad is 76, and my dad has a bunch of old cars. And my dad tinkers on old cars. He's tinkered on old cars for as long as I can remember. My dad grew up on a farm, and so he's always had, you know, projects that he's working on, and a lot of times it's been kind of mechanical projects. And so even in high school, you know, I remember my dad was, anybody remember the car brand Opel? Okay, a few of you do. Okay, well, my dad would find, you know, used Opels that were really cheap that needed maybe some work done to it, just mild, you know, light work, but fix them up and then be able to sell them, make a little money on it, especially in the late 70s when we had the first gas shortage. I know only a few of you remember, but that was one of the things that my dad, and so now my dad has, oh, he'd probably be embarrassed if I told you. I don't even know how many old cars my dad has. But he started to talk to me a little bit about old cars and when he's gone and which ones I might be interested in. And so that's an inheritance that is kind of coming my way. You know, some old cars. I know you're not real excited about inheritance like that, but no. Old Chryslers and stuff like that. Honestly, there's a Pontiac Le Mans that I'm really interested in. Okay, but anyways. But I don't want my dad to go anytime soon, so don't. I'm not that interested in it. But to grow up into that inheritance, if I hadn't spent some time in the garage in between shooting baskets with my dad, so I know a little bit about cars and a little bit how to work on cars and a little bit about mechanical stuff, then there's no way I would be ready for that inheritance. See, if I hadn't spent time with my dad as a teenager when he was working on stuff, then I wouldn't be growing into that inheritance that's waiting for me. Maybe a better example. We heard the kids singing about Peter, James, and John and how they were fishermen. You know, in Peter's world, businesses were kind of family operated, and you just kind of grew into the family business. And eventually, dad is going to hand the family business over to you. Well, how do you get ready to receive the family business whenever that time comes? Well, the only way you're ready to take over the business as being, you know, the fisherman business is if all growing up you've been spending time with dad learning how to fish, learning how to mend nets, learning how to take care of a boat, learning how fish think. You're not going to grow up into the inheritance without spending time with dad along the way. And if you just do your own thing and never spend any time with dad, then when the inheritance is yours, you're not fit for it. And I think that's kind of what Peter's saying here. Crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Notice he doesn't say, since you have tasted that the word is good. You've tasted that the Lord is good. He's quoting from Psalm 34. So here's what I think the milk is. It's the word, but it's more than the word. It's spending time with the Father. And we spend time with the Father when we gather up for church. We spend time with the Father when we have our personal devotions. We spend time with the Father when we fellowship together. So craving this pure spiritual milk is really craving the very life of the Father, given to us through the Son and through the Spirit. So crave that time, that relationship, that interaction with Dad, so that we're ready to receive the inheritance. We grow into the salvation. Can't accomplish it myself, but am I fit to receive it? Am I becoming fit? So it's this word about growing, since we have tasted that the Lord is good. And I need to say one word about that. I feel like I'm taking a long time. But since we have tasted that the Lord is good, the word good there is the word, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. How did it go, Alex? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My ways are humble and meek. I don't have it completely memorized. For my yoke is easy, your translation perfectly fitting, and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, it's the same word, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. So this goodness, this my yoke is easy, it's the graciousness of God. It's the fittingness of God. It's the mercy of God. Since you have tasted the graciousness, the mercy, the goodness, the well-fittingness of God, keep craving time with Him. Keep craving that pure spiritual milk. And as we crave that, we will find that we are being changed. We will find that the maliciousness that we have in our hearts is being pushed out, that we can set it aside because of the time with the Father. We can set that maliciousness aside. We can set hypocrisy aside. We don't have to be pretending that we're somebody that we're not. We can set deceit aside. We can set envy aside. We don't have to be jealous of what somebody else has, because we're with the Father, and the Father is changing us and growing us into that inheritance. And we don't need to be slandering anybody else. We don't need to be slanting people against other people, because we're with the Father, and He's growing us and changing us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's being kept in heaven for us. And we are guarded by faith, by the power of God, until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed for us at the last time. If you got malice in your heart, if we have envy, if we are slandering, we're being stunted. Our growth towards that inheritance is being stunted. We're not becoming who Christ has saved us to be. And that just... I mean, when you're stunted, it just infects everything. And so as we take communion this morning, I would challenge you to come and receive the bread, receive the cup, receive the grace, receive the goodness of the Lord, receive the milk, the pure spiritual milk, the self-giving life of God. I invite you to come and receive that. And as you receive that, put down, be rid, discard whatever attitudes or behaviors you need to let go of, especially ones that would be malicious or slanderous or envious or deceitful, hypocritical. Come and receive the pure spiritual milk, the life-giving word, life-giving stuff of God through His Son and His Spirit, so that we can grow into the salvation, into the inheritance that He's accomplished for us. Would you stand? Eddie, would you come and rest of the band and sing Sanctuary?